broadly speaking, our failures to love God and our neighbor as we ought take one of two forms. Either we perpetrate evil acts, we do some kind of damage, or we neglect to do good, which we know needs to be done, and which is well within our power to do. We sometimes refer to these as sins of commission and of omission, respectively. Every time we pray the Confiteor, we acknowledge that we do both kinds of wrong. I confess that I have greatly sinned in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Last Sunday, the scripture readings at Mass dealt with the doing of evil, specifically acting dishonestly in business. In the passage from the book of Amos, the mind of the unscrupulous trader was revealed. We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. And in the gospel, Jesus told the parable of the dishonest steward who squandered his master's property and then scrambled to protect himself when he was found out. Today, the emphasis in the scripture readings is on the wrong that can attach to failing to act, to doing nothing. As it was last Sunday, our first reading today is taken from the book of Amos. Amos warns, "Woe to the complacent in Zion." He directs this warning to the people in his community who are content to spend their time enjoying themselves. They devise their own accompaniment, set their own agenda. They're oblivious to problems in the community. They're not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. The parable Jesus tells in today's gospel continues the theme of complacency. It's a story about being blind to the needs of others that exist in plain sight. And like Amos' message, it's a warning. The principal characters in the parable are the rich man, Lazarus, and Father Abraham. The rich man is very rich. Today we'd probably describe him as super rich. His purple garments are our tip-off here. Lazarus is poor, diseased, and hungry. One of the poorest of the poor. Had he lived in modern-day Calcutta, St. Teresa and her Sisters of Charity might well have cared for him. Father Abraham is a prophet figure. He speaks for God. We're told that Lazarus lay at the rich man's door. The rich man couldn't have missed him, and yet he did. Lazarus would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table, if only they had been offered, but they weren't. Lazarus didn't ask for a lot. In fact, he didn't ask for anything. He's not described as a beggar. He suffered in silence. His presence at the rich man's door was his only plea. As Jesus relates the parable, the rich man had not stolen Lazarus' money and food. He had not cheated Lazarus out of these goods. The rich man didn't make Lazarus sick. He didn't do anything to Lazarus. And that's the point, isn't it? He didn't do anything. Well, we know the outcome of the parable, the fates of Lazarus and the rich man. The moral of the story, woe to the complacent. For the last dozen or so Sundays, our gospel readings have comprised Jesus' teaching on discipleship, how he expects authentic disciples of his to think and act. In the gospel parable, the rich man was supposed to see the plight of Lazarus. Authentic disciples are expected to see what's going on around them. If injustice, need, or suffering exists, the disciple is supposed to see it and do something to help. One of the tragic elements of Jesus' parable is that the rich man possessed the capacity for brotherly love, for compassion. In death, he sought to warn his brothers so that they could avoid his torment. But in life, he somehow had gotten lost in his riches. He hadn't exercised compassion, and so his consignment to the netherworld. Jesus' teaching is unambiguous. Failing to do good is no small failure. It's ironic that the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to give his brothers a message of warning, when he himself had ignored Lazarus' message, delivered in the flesh, day after day, at his doorstep. Hopefully this irony isn't lost on us, because we're receiving our own Lazarus messages all the time. We share with the rich man a capacity for compassion. Do we fall into the same trap as he did and fail to exercise our capacity for goodness? Do we get lost in the clutter and busyness of the world and neglect Lazarus lying at our door? I suspect that most of us would have to answer yes to these questions. We don't fall down routinely, but at certain times and in certain situations, we all fail to show compassion as we ought. We have to find ways to keep our occasional stumbling, our inaction, from becoming habitual, routine. If it's the clutter and busyness of the world that fills our consciousness, blinds us, and shuts down our compassion response, then we've got to turn off the world every once in a while. I can't see any way around it. We're not ignorant of Jesus' teaching about mercy and of other fundamentals of our faith, but we don't remind ourselves of these things often enough. We don't keep them up front in our awareness. There are things we can do to keep our focus on what's important. We can read the Gospels or perhaps the Old Testament wisdom books. We can read the works of contemporary spiritual writers and reflect on them. We can pray. I'm sure you can think of others, and you may be aware of ways that work particularly well for you. I'll conclude by offering one suggestion with respect to prayer. Thanksgiving should always be part of our prayer. Gratitude for God's many blessings. When we reflect on our lives very broadly, we recognize the many good things God has done for us. If we were to make time for daily prayer, we could identify blessings bestowed in the events of each day. Saint Ignatius incorporated thanksgiving in his daily examine prayer. Matthew Kelly's daily prayer practice, an adaptation of Ignatius' examine, begins with gratitude. Note the emphasis on daily. Thank God daily. Counting the blessings we have received can then lead to other reflections. What would my life be like if I weren't blessed in this way or that? What must it be like for people who don't have these blessings I have? Is there anything I can do to share my blessing with someone else whom I know doesn't have it? Personalizing things this way can open our eyes to Lazarus at our door, can move us to act with compassion, and can help each of us hit upon that concrete something we can do to make life better for someone else.